reason for my singing is the man from Galilee. It does not depend upon my circumstances, for Jesus is the source of my song. Life is a song worth singing, though it could be a hard melody. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, He will turn the pain into perfect harmony. Oh, the source of my song is the Savior. The reason for my singing is the man from Galilee. It does not depend upon my circumstances, for Jesus is the source of my song.
If we only sing when we're happy, we will not be singing very long. But if we're singing while the battle's raging, the world will know that Jesus is the source of our song.
Oh, the source of my song is the Savior. The reason for my singing is the man from Galilee. It does not depend upon my circumstances, for Jesus is the source of my song. Oh, the source of my song is the Savior. The reason for my singing is the man from Galilee. It does not depend upon my circumstances, for Jesus is the source of my song. It does not depend upon my circumstances, for Jesus is the source of my song. Yes, Jesus is the source of my song.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I do apologize. I say apologize. Preacher's not here. Am I on there? Jack, I'm on. Do I need to be up a little higher? I'll go up a little higher. I don't know if I can hear myself on these. Maybe that's what some of it is. I'll move this out of the way if I can. And I say I apologize. Just I wish you could hear our preacher. You're out here on a night when preacher's here. I love hearing our preacher. And I enjoy hearing him preach and listening to him preach. It's just, wow, let there be light. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Stone. I appreciate it. I can see now. Amen. So, let there be light, and there was light. No, where was I? Preacher's not here, and I do wish you were here on a night when you could hear our pastor preach. It is definitely a joy and a privilege tonight to be able to stand behind his pulpit, and I definitely do not take that for granted whatsoever. I know what kind of shoes there is to fill on a Wednesday night even. And the individuals that have stood behind this pulpit, a lot of them my heroes. And, of course, the man that mounts this pulpit, one as well. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I thought about, and I told preacher that I thought about preaching from Ruth chapter 1 tonight, following up on preacher's message of Seasons of Life Building, lesson 14. On sister-in-laws, but I thought maybe better of it after a little while. And she's not here, so then I thought, well, maybe I can change it to sisters. But she's sick tonight, and so I had to go to brother-in-laws. Jake, I'm sorry, that's what I had. So Jake's here, Joyce is not, so Jake, this is for you. No, I told preacher, he said, man, you got to do that. It'd be good to give them Seasons of Life Building. I've enjoyed that so much, and it's helped me out as well. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I also told a preacher I'd like to say something about the school. I know I don't get very many opportunities to stand in the pulpit just to say something about our school. I've just been thrilled to death about the number of students coming this year. And for those of you that don't know, this is about a 20 student increase from where we were last year. And so that's a huge growth for a size church that we are. And, you know, one of the things that I've noticed that Ms. Caitlin and I have noticed, though, is that I've had a lot of phone calls this year about private school education and want to know what the school is like. In fact, just this week we got a phone call about that. And people our concern about the direction the public school is going with the Common Core and where they're going to end up with that. And I say that with also saying this, that we are also concerned with the direction that some of those accredited schools, Christian schools, are going as well, because they're starting to institute the Common Core there. And so very much aware of talking to our reps to make sure what's being taught is something that would be glorifying to God. And I want to make sure that that's who and why we're there for what we're there for. And, you know, we want our kids to be educated, no doubt. But we want a good, solid Christian education for sure. And so I was thinking about that this week as well, about the young people that have come through our school and doing things, great things for God. Some of them not full-time in the ministry, but full-time Christians. And that's our goal and that's our focus for the school here, is we want young people to be full-time Christians, whether they're in the ministry or not. And for the past several years I've been here, that's been my goal, my aim. And so I'm looking forward to another school year. Summer has flown by. It has gone so fast. I can't believe it's here already. And candy sale will be fast upon us. I know parents are excited about that. Then you'll see Speedy Reader for 9 young kids this year as well. And then we'll be right into graduation before you know it. So 5 seniors, and looking forward to the school year. I do want to say also thank you to those who have generously given to the KES, that program that we started last year. And just astonishes me the amount of people that got involved with that. And those that, quite honestly, had no tie to our Christian school that have given this last year. And so I've been just overjoyed with the fact that you'd want to give to our Christian school and seeing the education. And maybe it's the product. And I'm definitely not waving my hands in glory for me or anything. We've got a good group of educators that teach at our school. And I was thinking about how many years our educators, and tallying up, very rough tally, but if you count in preacher, it's over 100 years of teaching. But just for those in the teaching, it's about 80 years that the group of teachers we have that are teaching the young people in education. So that's quite a long time of teaching. Ms. Thomason takes up 75 of it, but that's besides the point. Kidding. You knew I wasn't going to let you off the hook tonight. There's no way. No way. So, Ecclesiastes, I'll jump in. I do understand and see the time. And I told Brother Stone I just have 9 pages of notes tonight, so we will be done before midnight. And I understand and am aware of the time. I will move very quickly through the message. The first part of the message will be the bulk of the message, and then I have 3 points and we'll close tonight since we do have a baptism. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1, we'll start there. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Verse number 11 is my text verse. He that hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I want to preach tonight there in verse number 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. In his time. And let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, understand who I am, and Lord, I pray that You'd get me out of the way. Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would be there in the way, that the people would get exactly what's for them tonight. Lord, I need this message as much as they do. And Lord, I pray that You would bless, be with the message. And Lord, again, Holy Spirit power be upon it. Be with the baptism to follow. In Your name we pray. Amen. Well, I've heard preachers talk about the fact that they struggle with which messages to preach. You know, I'm in between messages. Well, no worries, I don't have one of those tonight. This is the message that I have. So I was thinking, though, the last several days of what kind of messages we've had. From just about a week and a half ago, we heard Brother Hiltabiddle deliver some amazing stories, which I'm still trying to process exactly. Some of those through his messages on the walk through time. And I had the opportunity to go out to eat with him one night and just for the whole time ask questions. And I told him, I'm sorry, but if you would, I just would like to ask questions. And I began to ask questions about the Old Testament and the New Testament. And, you know, before the end of the night, it was 10:30, and, you know, I had, I don't know, any more knowledge than I started with in the beginning. It was just so amazing. I mean, it just, you can talk to people about sports, and you can talk to people about, I don't know, lady shopping or some certain things like that, but it was just a joy to talk about the Bible and to talk about God's Word and to hear a man that knows so much about God's Word. And I walked away from that night, you know, as he started that Sunday morning in Genesis and finished the triumphant return of the victory of the Lord in Revelation, I walked away and thought to myself, man, that took a lot of time to plan out what he had prepared for us. Just the slides, you know, some of those slides, I still didn't get all the what was there and completely understand it. And I tried to, and I did. I asked him questions afterwards, and he told me some amazing things about his archaeological digs and what he's found. And one day, I'd like to go down there and see the museum they have there. I understand it's quite enormous, and I know some of the ladies had already gone this summer down south and seen the Creation Museum. Some of you have been there to see the Ark. And he said they have a 1/20th scale model of the actual thing there as well. And they ripped off of, you know, his. And no, he was just joking. He said he's been friends with the gentleman there. And so, but he talked about the dinosaur bones and all that. And I, just at the end of it, I just thought to myself, well, that has been his life. And he's taken a lot of time to go through that and to look at that and a lot of planning. And so it got me thinking about, what does the Bible say about the word plan? So what, the Bible used the word plan. Maybe there's somewhere that I don't know of, and maybe you know this already, but in the King James Bible, the 1611 that we have and we use, the word plan is not used at all. There is not one time the word plan or plans is used in our Bible. Not at all. It's not there. So I thought, well, maybe, you know, it's just, there's another reason for it, maybe. And so I started, I don't do it often, but I got out a couple other versions. In the NIV, it's used 36 times, the word plan. In the ESV, the English Standard Version, it's used 33 times. And in the New King James Version, it's used 17 times. You say, well, you know, it doesn't mean that big of a deal, the word plan. Well, I beg to differ with you. I think there's a reason for what and why God did that and had His men write that. Let me give you one example in Proverbs 14:22. And I'll turn over there. You don't have to turn there. But Proverbs 14:22 says this in the King James Bible. It says, "Do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good." So that's in the King James. Let me give you what it says in the NIV. "Do not those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness." Does it sound like it's a little bit different than what the King James says? I think so. The fact that it says, "but those who plan," I think the reason God didn't put the word plan in the Bible because there's only one plan. Amen. It's His plan. It's Him and through Him alone. It's His orchestrated plan. He didn't need to put in there, "this is my plan, this is what I think is going to happen." And you know, oftentimes, you know, as I begin my study, begin to thinking to myself, well, what is my plan? And when I went back to thinking about what God's plan is what happened to Him in His life. That was His plan. He died an agonizing death. And He was crucified for us. That was His plan for us. For each and every one of us. And so as I begin processing this and thinking about this, I recently was in conversation with a businessman in the area, and we were just conversation at the beginning of it, talking about family, how my family was doing, very successful businessman in this area, and just happened to stop by there and know him. And he, you know, we were just talking, and he said in his conversation about family, and you know, you get to family and it, you know, really softens a person up. He's not saved, and I'm praying that he gets saved. And we were talking about that, and you know, he seems like a very tough individual. And through that conversation, he made the comment this, and it kind of gave me the springboard into the message tonight. But he talked about the fact that his kids are getting older and they're leaving, and one of his daughters is now in Texas, and he's got a son that moved to St. Louis, Missouri, and another boy who's in the Army, and he does have one daughter at home. And so in the conversation, we're talking about his kids, and he says to me, he said, you know, Mike, one of the things that I really look forward to and I really enjoy is just when they either call on the phone or they stop by the house and say, hey, Dad, hey, Dad. And he said, every time it gets me. Every time it just gets me. You know, the problems, he wasn't focusing on that. He just said, every time I get to hear them say, hey, Dad, hey, Dad. And I think about that sometimes, you know, do we get the time to say to our Heavenly Father, hey, Dad, hey, Father, hey, Lord, do we get that time? That was the springboard to my message. So I began planning and thinking about this, and of course, Ecclesiastes lays a solid foundation of a lot of things, and be thankful I'm not preaching on all of those and going through each one of those, but hallelujah, you all are looking at me like, amen. Praise the Lord for that. But in Ecclesiastes, that word time is used several times there. And God's plan for us, of course, took time. He spent time beginning to prepare us. And God used the word time, didn't use plan, but He used the word time 563 times in the Word of God. It's pretty important that He used the word time. And in the Bible, Ecclesiastes talks about a few of those. And I lost my place. Let me get there. I knew I should have left the piece of paper. There it went. Ecclesiastes 3, in verse number 11, as it says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. And I wanted to begin looking at this thing. So where did God, as it says, begin His time? In His time. So I reference back, and if in my Bible anyway, in the middle of the margin of the Bible, it references back to Genesis chapter 1. If you'll turn there in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 30, real quick, we'll read what it says there. In Genesis 1:31, it says this, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So I see there in the beginning of time that God saw everything He made. He was the one that made it. It was, in the beginning of time, was Him. God was the one that started it all, and it was all beginning in His time. Time's an amazing thing. You know, we can't get it back. There's a quote that I have later on that I'll share with you that somebody wrote, but it's something that, you know, we're not going to get time back. August the 10th of 2016, there won't be another day like today. Today is the only day. So time, to me, is a very important thing. And we don't get another time to spend, as the gentleman that I talked with, another day with our kids. When they grow, you know, I heard my dad and mom talk about it all the time. You'll understand when you get older, time flies by so fast. It goes so quick. You cherish just a little bit of that time you have with your family. I see the Irvins, you know, the time you get together, you enjoy those times. They don't happen very often when we get together. I love it. I don't see my brother that often. He lives down in Houston, Texas. But the time that I enjoy is the time we get together. And those are the things. We relive some of the times when we were younger and what we did. And some of the things we went and saw. And just throughout our childhood. And we relive those things in time. And I'll get here to the message that, again, that was the intro, so I promise it'll go along a lot faster than that. But we use the word time in so many different facets, so many different things and stages and circumstances in our lives. For instance, as a child, there's different times we use that word time, like in the car. What time will we be there? Probably heard that before. What time is there going to be, or what time is this going to be over? Are we there yet? It seems like it's taken forever. Or maybe dad or mom says, is it time to go to the bathroom yet? Been in the car when that's happened. Or maybe you've been in the car and you've said, well, didn't make it in time. Just didn't happen. And then it's time to clean it up, because that's what happens afterwards as well. This is taking forever. Is it time to go yet? Heard that one before. Are we going to get there? Or maybe even when they're young, when they're playing a game, they've used the word, all right, time out. Let's take a time out. Or time in. It's time. Well, it happens also when we get older as teenagers. Of course, the favorite thing of teenagers is dinner time. That's what they look forward to the most, is dinner time. I know what the parents is. It's time to get a job. That's what they like to say. Or this time of year rolls around and it's school time. We're looking forward to that. So school time or study time or time for homework or free time or time for work. Okay, maybe even enough. You've wasted enough time. Let's get busy. The worst feeling as a teenager, though, if they're in school and getting that place of school is, all right, time's up. Put your pencils down. Turn them in. The time's up. And you're still on half of the page of the test and you haven't finished yet. And so you're quickly trying to get through it. Or maybe it's been, you've wasted enough time on this, let's get busy. And then, you know, it even carries over into the adult stage. Man, time flies. It goes so quick. Seems so, you know, as the older I get, and it's not that old, but the older I get, I realize and think, man, it was really just felt like yesterday that that happened. And time flies. And maybe you've made some of these statements. Where has the time gone? My, it's gone so quick. Or maybe there is never enough time in a day to get everything I want to get done. It just goes so quick. I've had a lot of those days. There's never enough time. Or maybe it's mom says, I need a time out from the kids. Maybe that's the time. I wish we could spend more time together. We've said that before. I know I've said that before. And then eventually it's time to leave. So soon, time to go. When is the last time you did that? Time to take out the trash, honey. Heard that one before as well. It's time for an oil change. It's time to do laundry already. It's time to pay bills. Don't know the time? Get a watch. Right? We've heard all these things, and honestly, we could go on and on and on and on about time. We could use phrase after phrase about time. That's not my message tonight. Let me get to the important stuff. You know, I see in verse number 1 of Ecclesiastes 3, 1, that to everything there is a season and time, to every purpose under the heaven. You know, the first thing I see, God put us here in His time for a purpose. That's number 1. You know, God has a purpose for us. We're not just aimlessly walking about this earth. God has a purpose for us. He's put us here for a reason. So many times I talk to young people and they say, it doesn't even matter. Nobody cares. God cares. God has a purpose. God has a reason. God has intricately designed each and every one of us for a reason, for His purpose, and for Him. And in fact, Psalm chapter 139 verse 14 says, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and Thy soul knoweth right well. Psalmist David said it best, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We're made for a purpose. In His time, He made us just like He wanted. He knew that on August 13th of 1982, by the way, a Friday the 13th, I will add that, I was born in Mariemont, Ohio, to Edward and Debbie Bragg. He knew that I would have an older brother and a younger sister, that I would grow up in Ohio and move at the age of 2 to St. Louis, Missouri, grow up in a Christian home, a pastor's home, knew where I would go to school, knew where I would go to college, knew who I would marry, knew how many kids I'd have. He knew. He had a purpose already. He had it already designed. And it'd be nice to know the beginning from the end, but we don't know that. God doesn't have that. And so we know that He, in according to Ecclesiastes 3, put us here for a purpose under the heaven. That purpose, we'll find out here in just a second. Hopefully, there has been a time, though, not just that we've been born, but that we've been born again. Because there also needs to be a time of a spiritual birth. I gave you my physical birth, but on February 26th of 2006, that's the day I got born again. Or I should say, I was born again, Ms. Thomason. Thank you. There you go. I was born again February 26th of 2006. You might say, what does that mean? Maybe you're here tonight, you don't know for sure that you're saved. Not often do we come to a Wednesday night, but I don't know, maybe there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know for sure they're on their way to heaven. Have you ever thought about it? I know I sat in church for 22 years, and I played the game. I wore the green jacket. In fact, it was Northwest Bible Baptist Church. And I was an usher. I was in the back of the auditorium behind the closed doors as an usher. And I heard the gospel like I had never heard it before just that night. And I came down forward and asked Jesus to save me. God had a purpose that night for me. February 26th, what's your story? God has His plan, but what's yours? Are you saved? Because in Romans 3:10 it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. In Romans 3:23, he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, he says, for the wages of sin is death. See, there has to be a penalty for the things we've done wrong. That's death and hell. But thankfully, God gave us a gift, His Son, the eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans 5:8, God commendeth, He showed His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, doesn't say maybe, He says thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's not a might be, it's not a hope so, it's a for sure thing. It's done, it's been settled, Christ died for us. Hey, He had a purpose for you. He had a purpose, but it's in His time. In His perfect. You may say, well, things aren't going exactly like they should right now. Have you stopped just to say, God, I don't understand the purpose, but I'm there, whatever You want me to do. In Your time. I thought about this brother that we read in the missionary letters. 19 months in a country that God didn't call him to. Waiting on visas. In Jamaica. He's supposed to be in India where God called him. He just said, pray for God's will, whatever, in His timing. It's in His, as we see there in verse number 11, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Like I said, I know it's a Wednesday night crowd, but where are you? Those verses I read, we call them the Romans Road. Do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? I'm not trying to get you to doubt it, but do you know it? Do you have it settled? Are you 100% sure? It's not a might be, not a maybe, for sure. No, brother. Britt and Brother Allen last night were out soul winning. We were on one side of the street. They were on the other side. And they had an opportunity to witness to a lady who, a teenage boy is what I understand, a friend of hers, son, was killed. And she'd just been thinking about death. Been thinking about what's going to happen. And I think really, just thinking about what about her time. What does she have left? Brother Allen was able to give her the gospel. She accepted Christ as her Savior. That was her time. Yesterday was her appointed time. You know, as I see also in Ecclesiastes, though, chapter 3, verse 2, I see a time to be born and a time to die. And ultimately, we're going to face a time of death. That death is coming, as I said. Do we know for sure? Are we 100% for sure? God doesn't say a date. He doesn't say for sure when it's going to be. I asked Brother Hiltavittle. I said, it's all right, come on. The prophecy guy... Do you know, what's your opinion on when you think the Lord's going to come back? Well, I've got a couple of dates. And I thought, you know, it's so true because we don't know the time. We don't know when it's going to be. That guy has prophecy. He gave me a couple dates and threw them out there, but for sure he didn't know. But I'll tell you this. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, "It's appointed unto man once to die, but after that the judgment." We're all going to face that day. See, hell is real, and He is coming back again. He's coming back. Mark 13, 32 and 33 says this, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." We don't know when that time. It says it there in Mark chapter 13. We're not for sure. But I'll tell you this, there is a purpose for the time. You know what I also see there in Ecclesiastes that the Lord gives us? Ecclesiastes 3, 2, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. You know what it tells me? That there's still time to work. There's time to work. There's provision. There's a purpose. There's provision. You see, God made a way for us. In the garden, when God created Adam and Eve, He didn't just put them there and say, "Okay, it's whatever you want to do." What did He tell Adam and Eve to do? He told them to dress it and to keep it. He said, "It's time to work. Time to get to work. Time to do something." And I see that in a couple of different passages of Scriptures, that there's not just purpose, but there's also provision. God made a way for us. And He gives us a gift. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 13. Look down there if you're still there. And also it says that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. What does it say after that? It is the gift of God. God left us a gift. The gift, and doesn't sound fun, but it's work. I don't want to get up every day and enjoy the fact, but I think that's what God's telling us. He says it's we have to get up and work. We have to do something. We have to be busy about our Father's business. We have to be out soul winning, like most of you several here were yesterday. Out telling other people about Christ. You know, even Jesus in John 4:34 says, Jesus saith unto him, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." That's what He came down here to do, is the work. He came not to stand around and say, "This is who I am," but that there was work to be done. He knew there was work. The preacher made reference to this even Sunday morning. You know, he said there's things in our life where we'll say, "Well, I'll get around to it. You know, I'll get around to doing that someday. Maybe. We'll see." You know, and I believe he pointed out a definite, what he was talking about, Bible reading, that we need to have a definite time and definite place, is what he said. You know what that does? That takes work. It takes work for us. A time to work. I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ didn't finish the job halfway. He saw the work through. It might not have been enjoyable, I'm sure, knowing what it was coming, but He finished. Sometimes, so many times, even I'm guilty of putting stipulations on what God can and can't do. You know, knowing that, even in James chapter 1, verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, He's going to put some trials there. The work means that there's going to be some difficult things come up. Are we going to get bitter? Or are we just going to do the work? We're going to keep going. Maybe you're here tonight. That's not my message, but maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you're just in a state of, boy, you can't get anything done because you're just bitter about a situation. Boy, that root problem, pull it out and let God have His way in your life. It's in His time. I heard a quote, and I'll give it to you. I read a quote, I should say. Someone once said, "Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back." It's so true. Time, as I've already said, we won't get today back again. What are we doing with our time? It's His time, but what are we doing with it? Psalm, if you'll turn over there to Psalm chapter 8. I'm winding it down. Psalm chapter 8. Read a few verses there. Psalm chapter 8. Verse number 3. Psalm chapter 8 says this, "When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. He says it in verse number 3, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers. Again, God's made it all. God's done it all. We get to live in, the greatest country there is. I don't know if some of you have made reference to, or heard you tonight talk about the Olympics. And I'm just as proud of the Americans as anybody else. I'm proud to be an American. But I'll tell you what, God's not going to ask us what country we're from. He's not going to say, hey, where did you live at? What did you do for a living? He's not going to ask any of those things. He's going to ask you, what did you do with your time for me? What did you do? What did you spend it on? He made the provision. He gave us the work to do. He says we're supposed to be busy about His business, trying to reach others. But lastly, I come to this conclusion as well. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 14 and 15. Lastly, He has in His time given us a promise. So He's given us a purpose, but He's also given us a promise. Should have held my finger on that. I knew I'd lose it again. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes again 3, verse number 14 and 15, it says this, "And I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken away from it." Means what God's done is complete. It's perfect. What He's put together, what He's ordained, He's made it perfect. "And God doeth it that men should fear before Him." God's amazing. Verse number 15, "That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been." Too many people are trying to add to and take away. God's already done it. He's already promised it. So where's His promise? What's His promise? If you will, can you turn over to Revelation chapter 21? And then I'll finish with this in Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 1 says this, "And I saw a new heaven," John saying, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Can I say tonight, in closing, God's promise is He's already prepared a place for us. His plan was that He died. His plan was that in time, He'd like to see us saved. He put a purpose for us to be here. He just didn't create, thankfully, not us all alike either. He put us different. Would hate to see another person like me. Although they say there's a twin. Everybody has their own twin. Haven't run into that person yet. But you know what? I tell you tonight, folks, that what are we doing with our time? The time that we have left. No man knoweth the time. No man knoweth the hour. But what are we doing with the time we have left? Are we busy about what God has for us? Are we being a witness? Listen, you don't have to turn on the news long to find out the world's a mess. The world's crazy. We don't have to listen to talk radio to find out. And I can see through the Scripture, and you all know as well that the time is short. We're living in that Laodicean age. It's there. We're on the doorstep. It's exciting time, though. But I'll tell you what, are we prepared? Are we ready for the time that is this? In His time. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed as the pianists come to the piano and organ. Tonight, where are we with our heads bowed and eyes closed? Where are we? Have we begun to think about what life has for us? We know it's in His time as we saw tonight, but what are we doing with our time? Maybe tonight you need to come to the old-fashioned altar and say, you know what, I just need to get back to some time in the Word of God. I need to get back to reading God's Word. I need to get back to praying more. I need to put myself in a place of soul winning more. What is the time? It's so little time. But what are we doing with the time we have left? Maybe you're here tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed and you don't know 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven. You don't know that heaven is your home. You'd be willing to be honest with yourself and with the Lord and say, you know what, Brother Mike, I'm not sure. I'd like to raise my hand. I'd like somebody to show me from the Bible how I could know for sure, 100% sure. You'd slip your hand up tonight. That's you. You say, I don't know where I'm going when I die. Anybody like that? All right. I'd ask the individual who's coming for baptism if they make their way tonight. The baptism be open tonight. Excited about that. Take them back there. Yes, ma'am. Heavenly Father, thank You again for the time tonight. I do pray that, Lord, I would be more busy about Your business, about winning the loss, Lord, about the time that we have left. Lord, just being a witness for You where we're at, whether it be at a grocery store or whether it be at a car dealership or whether it be anywhere, Lord, that we go, we'd be a witness for You. Father, our time is short. We realize that, but Lord, I pray that we'd be faithful, busy doing what we should for You in the time we have left. Bless the invitation. In Your name we pray. Amen. The altars are open as the pianist begins.